By the time the Karua bypass was under construction, a variety of options was available to keep the community informed about progress. Graham Kinnear.
RTE issued community newsletters. We had a 1-800 telephone number that allowed people to ring it and be given advice on a whole range of topics. We organised community trips. We provided a pack of information for primary school kids so that they could learn and grow with the project and come and see it on a regular basis and understand how it was all put together. We put together a facility on site which was fitted out with computer, CDs, library, artifacts we'd found. We had displays of history of the area, for example, in photographs. We also set up a website. We kept that updated and we made that site available to the community and, in fact, anyone else worldwide that wished to access it. We had a photo gallery that showed the latest photographs of progress. We had an animation of how the bridge was to be constructed and incrementally launched, that is, pushed out. Another thing is willingness to go beyond what you have to do. And David Bax from Thies, the contracting company that built this project, and myself went out to probably 15 meetings. And you'd take an interest show along to them and tell them about what's going on. You'd get the interest and the enthusiasm up. You'd get the pride in the project and how their area is developing. That's really important to do. It builds a lot of goodwill.
Perhaps the most dramatic way of engaging the community was to get them onto the bridge as it was launched across the Karua River. Dick Whibley.
Because it was a very technical project, particularly the bridge, there was a lot of interest from not only community groups, but also from universities and institution of engineers and all those sorts of groups. So a lot of community involvement, a lot of community inspections. And I guess I can recall taking quite a few tours through the project. Perhaps the most interesting times were when we got community members on the bridge whilst it was being launched. So at certain times during the week, the bridge would be pushed out and we allowed community members at certain stages to actually go and observe that happening, to watch the jacks pushing the bridge out. And part of that was to get them to stand on the bridge whilst it was moving. And they were standing on this huge structure being pushed across the river. Always the interest was when it was going to be completed. When was the traffic going to come out of Karua? When was the school, who had suffered years and years of putting up with trucks going past the school front gate, when was that noise going to stop so they could play in the playground and have lessons in the playground?
In Armidale, the community was encouraged to actively participate in the project. Steve O'Rourke.
We wanted to make the bypass something that the community felt that they had ownership of. We didn't want to say, we're putting a road through your town, hope you like it. We wanted them to feel part of it, and that's why we got them involved in the landscaping. And through local land care / environmental groups such as Greening Australia, which were all coordinated by the council, we organised community groups, including school children, to plant trees.
Especially keen to use the landscaping project as a means of involving the community was Armidale Council's project manager, David Stella.
We actually approached the RTA and asked them if we could look at it as a community planting project and organise local schools and sporting groups to undertake the planting under council's supervision. And they were very keen to do this because it would give a lot of ownership to the project by the community. And that really, I think, galvanised the community into understanding that there was a bypass being constructed and that, yes, it will be a good thing for Armidale and we're involved in it because of the tree planting project.